Well, New York State of Mind there by Billy Joel. Well, that city, New York, is being reinvigorated and renovated with no expense spared. Billions is being spent rebuilding its four airports, expanded the iconic Museum of Modern Art, opening new hotels, restaurants and shops, along with a new Statue of Liberty Museum, new ferry service and more public art. It's all about keeping New York's reputation as the world's most visited city. Sue Hearn spoke to Senior Vice President of New York City Global Communications, Christopher Haywood.
Chris Haywood, welcome to Travel Writers Radio.
It's so great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Now, can you tell us what's happening in New York? It sounds like it's been totally rejuvenated and renovated.
It's just incredible. New York City is an evolving destination, but in 2019, it's really going to be a remarkable, monumental year. There's a ton of new openings, new hotels, but there's also large-scale developments going on in the city, including the opening of Hudson Yards, which is the largest private real estate development in the history of the United States. In addition to that, we also see the MoMA, the Museum of Modern Art, expanding by a third their gallery space, as well as a new museum on Liberty Island called the Statue of Liberty Museum, right next to Lady Liberty herself. So there's just a ton going on. It's going to be a great year to visit the destination.
Now, you get a lot of Australians. What are the figures like from Australia to New York?
So last year, we had 693,000 Australian visitors. It's our fifth largest overseas market. Next year, that number is going to increase by about 3% to 712,000 visitors. I mean, the Australians just love New York. They love to explore the boroughs beyond Manhattan. They love to shop. They love to sightsee. They love to do everything and anything in New York City. And next year will be the year to want to visit the destination. I mean, I think now is the time to plan. Because these openings, Hudson Yards is opening in the spring, Statue of Liberty is opening in May, the museum is opening in May, and of course, the MoMA expansion next summer. So there's going to be a lot of things going on. We also have 117,000 hotel rooms with another 20,000 on the way. So there's plenty of room at the inn and many choices in every corner of the city.
So do Australians stay longer than most people in New York?
Absolutely. They stay on average about 9 days, which is one of our longest staying visitors, and they spend a lot of money. I mean, they stay longer, they spend more, and they explore. They love the nightlife. They love anything New York. We even have Australian coffee shops in New York. That's how much Australia has really infused the destination. So it's very exciting, and they've been coming for many, many years, but in recent years, that number just continues to balloon.
So is there a particular time of the year when Australians go to New York?
Well, I would say they come year-round, but we want to encourage more of them coming during the summer break in January because that's a great time to get great value. That's when our hotel rates are at its lowest, but also a time when it's a little cooler in New York. So if you like snow and you like to enjoy a different side of the destination, this is a cozier time, but definitely colder. But I would say they like to come year-round. I mean, my favorite time, frankly, to visit the destination is the fall, September and October, our fall. And that is a time when the weather is just at its perfection and the leaves are starting to turn. You've got great fall foliage and it's just a wonderful time to enjoy the crisp air and to explore the city. So that's a popular time. We also have holidays, of course, in December, November and December. And that's a popular time for international visitors to come and want to shop and experience the beauty and colorfulness of New York at the holidays.
Now, you've got the coffee now, which was a big thing for Australians travelling to New York or America, that you didn't have such good coffee, but you seem to have sorted that out. What about the food? What new destinations can we expect next year?
Well, we've got an amazing food halls that continue to pop up in the destination, and we've got these large-scale developments like Pier 17 at the South Street Seaport, which is going to have celebrity chefs David Chang of Mama Fuku. We've got Andrew Carmelini, and we've got Jun George all opening in this one food development right on the East River waterfront. At Hudson Yards, we also have plenty of new shops and restaurants, including a new Spanish food hall. So that's very exciting. There's also always new restaurants popping up around the destination. And we even have taco stands, gourmet taco stands at the new Domino Park on the Williamsburg waterfront. We have this new place called Taco China that just opened. And he also has Danny Meyer has a new restaurant called Manhattan, which just opened on the 60th floor of a high-rise building in Lower Manhattan. We also have Pastis coming back, which is Keith McNally's restaurant. It will be coming back to the Meatpacking District later this year, possibly early 2019. That is a famous restaurant that was open and then closed and will be reopening again. We also, of course, have the newly opened Blue Box Cafe, which is a new permanent fixture at Tiffany's on Fifth Avenue. So if you want to have breakfast at Tiffany's, now you can. But New York is the dining capital of the world, and we run Restaurant Week twice a year. It's going on right now for 4 weeks, but it will be back in January for 3 weeks, offering two-course lunches for $26 and three-course dinners for $42. So it's a great way to sample the incredible cuisine of New York City at a better rate.
Because the view is that New York is very expensive.
Absolutely. New York can be expensive, but we try to invite travelers, locals and visitors alike, to come and experience a destination during these off periods. Sometimes in the summertime is when business travel drops off and a lot of New Yorkers leave town, so there's more room. And also in winter, it's a time of year when it's a little quieter. So we try to offer what we call vibrancy programs. So we have Restaurant Week. We also offer 2-for-1 Broadway tickets during certain periods of time, as well as Off-Broadway Week. And we also have a new NYC must-see week in January, which offers 2-for-1 admission at many attractions, tours, museums, and more. So we definitely have value, and I highly recommend you go to nycgo.com/free for a list of all the free activity going on in the destination.
So what sort of free things are you offering?
Well, we have free attractions in the city. We have the High Line Park, which is an elevated railway in the sky along Manhattan's west side that is free of charge to walk. We have the Staten Island Ferry, which is free of charge. It's a 25-minute ferry ride from Lower Manhattan over to St. George and Staten Island, passing the Statue of Liberty. Does not cost anything. And the 9/11 Memorial, which are the two pools that were built to commemorate the fallen during 9/11, that area is open to the public free of charge. But New York is the best walking city in the world, and you do not have to spend anything to walk the streets and experience the vibrancy and excitement and energy of New York. And I think that's really amazing. So you can spend as much or as little as you want in the city. We also have free TV tapings. So if you go onto our website, you can look for information about TV tapings and how to sign up for those in advance. And there's certain days of the week which museums offer free or discounted admission. So I think those are things that you can look for. We also have cheap eats. There's a lot of food trucks in the city where you can really just get a meal on a shoestring budget. So you don't have to spend as much as you might think.
What's behind this rejuvenation? Was New York getting tired?
Well, you know, New York for over the last several years has been enjoying an extraordinary moment in its history. The quality of life of the destination has been enhanced. There's been more developments and new parkland going up, the development of our waterfront. But we've also become the safest big city in America, and there's been a lot of investment in making the city more inviting and cleaner and more welcoming. And the safety and security, I think, is a big driver, but it's all about, like I say, the quality of life. That's really what's drawing people. And it just seems to be getting better and better every day. So that's something that I think is making the destination a draw.
Well, thank you for joining us on the program today.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here, and we look forward to seeing you in New York City.
That was Sue Ahern there speaking with Chris Haywood, Senior Vice President, Global Communications at New York City & Company. And a couple of other things that you may not want to miss if you go over there. There's the largest retrospective of exhibitions in 30 years of Andy Warhol's works and the 50th anniversary of gay rights, when 3 million people are expected to visit New York. You're listening to The Travel Writers Show on J-Air 87.8 FM. I don't know what your memory of a visit to New York is, but my first was actually at Christmas. So that you know, festive season with the cool. It wasn't snow, but it was quite chilly, and the windows were all done up. We happened to stay at the Plaza Hotel, which was a bit of a thrill in its own right, and took the carriage right to New York Central Park. And, it was just a very, very memorable thing. I'm not sure I'm ready to rush back there and do it again, but we had our kids with us, so that they were primary school, so that really impressed them too. But it is a great city, and it's interesting to hear what they're looking to do with it. Well, that's our show for this week. It was great to have your company, and we do look forward to being back with you next Wednesday from 5 p.m. when we'll have the best of food, wine, lifestyle and travel here at Travel Writers Radio on J-Air 87.8 FM in Melbourne. We're also live on the internet at www.jair.com.au, and we're available 24/7 on soundcloud.com/travelwritersradio.